Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I know I'm not the face that you were expecting to see as it relates to the message on today. So let me explain and give you a little bit of information. My name is Lone Bostic. I have the privilege of serving as one of the members of our ministerial leadership team here at Impact. And I am not Pastor Crawford. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of information. He actually just found out a couple of days ago that he tested positive for COVID. He is well, let me say that first and foremost. He's okay. He's actually doing the things from home that he's able to do, such as his online classes and other things as it relates to the ministry. However, following the CDC guidelines, obviously, he and his family are at home on today. So we want to say good morning to them. We want to continue to declare their healing, that he continues to be whole and well. We have ministered in song this morning on God's resurrection power, his reckless love, and all of that is in operation where the Crawford family is concerned on this morning. So all we ask you today is to join in agreement that he continues to be healed, whole, and well. So I know that those prayers will continue, but we want to give you a scripture on top of that to be declaring over him and his family. Isaiah 53:4-5. Focusing on verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, and by his stripes and his wounds, we are healed. So that is what we're standing on. That is what we're declaring. That is what Pastor Crawford is walking out even as we are worshiping God on this morning. So declare that over him and his family. And by the way, it's a good idea to declare that over your family. I'm declaring it over mine as well. So the vessel may have changed for the message on this morning, but because the message comes from Almighty God, he still has his say on this morning as it relates to relationships. So we're going to go ahead and continue in that vein. And we're just going to get everything that God has for us on this morning. So before I get started, I just want to remind you of what you saw regarding the small groups for our summer small groups, that there are choices for small groups this summer. And that's another way that we can get everything that God has for us. So as we continue today, we're continuing in the series on relationship status. And so relationships are a part of what it means to be human. If we're human, if we're alive, we have some type of relationship that's going on in our lives. So the question is not whether we have a relationship. The question is, what is the status of the relationships that we have? So a few weeks ago, we took a look at the different types of relationships. So the first one we took a look at is a singleness relationship, where we have time to interact directly with God, be able to do all the things that we may not be able to do when some of these other relationships come along. So we still have God at the center, but the amount of time and devotion that we can provide to him is immeasurably more in a singleness status. So it allows us to have an undivided heart. God has the center. He has it all. And there's just some amazing things that can be done when you are in that relationship status. And also on Mother's Day, we took a look. Pastor Rhonda gave us information, and we looked at, through God's eyes, how the married relationship should be in action. And so last week, bringing it forward closer to today, we talked about when our status changes to being in a relationship, talking about with another person. In order to really love others well, though, we learn that we have to make God the center of that relationship in order to get all that is intended, what God intended from that relationship. And we also have to have a love and an understanding of God's love for us before we can successfully be in any other type of relationship. But this morning, we're going to look at the one that I think has the most fun title, hashtag It's Complicated. So these are the relationships where there is perhaps something that is complicated, something that is not going as smoothly as we would like. But just remembering along the lines of everything stems from our relationship with God, even the complicated ones. 1 John 4:19 in the New Living Translation version reads, "We love each other because he loved us first." So even the possibility of being able to love another person comes from the ability to understand God's love for us. So no matter what status we find ourselves in, and we could find ourselves in multiple statuses. So this is not just a dating or married relationship or a relationship with God. This could be relationship with friends, relationship with family, relationship with coworkers, neighbors. These are the things God has to be at the center for it to truly have what it needs to flourish. So whenever you look at two individuals, any type of relationship, each have their own history, each has their own personality and quirks, and we all have them. So I don't even want to ask people to raise their hand, because you would be potentially lying in the house of God if you said that you did not have any type of quirk and you are perfect. So then we'd have to talk after this message. So I'm going to save us all that trouble, and we're just going to assume that everyone has something that we are working on, or something that someone has to demonstrate the love of God to us. So that's actually when things kind of get complicated, when we are not showing our best selves. We bring some of these other things to the table. So when people say it's complicated, what do they really mean? They really mean that they may be unsure of where the relationship stands or where it's headed. They may be unsure if both parties are equally committed to the relationship. Or if they're in a relationship and it's complicated, they just may be frustrated at how they perceive they're being treated by the other person. This can be a difficult status to find ourselves in, but God always gives us the tools that we need to be successful, and that includes relationships. So he gives us ways to handle the complications that come our way. So let's think back. We don't even have to look at our own relationships, although it's a good idea to put the focus there for what we're experiencing and learning. But we also get to watch or see the relationships that other people have. So we watch family and friends enter into relationships and leave relationships. This is true of pastors and ministers as well. We see that some relationships are smooth and steady. And by the way, smooth and steady doesn't mean that there's not conflict, because where there's two people and they're different, conflict is inevitable. It's how those conflicts are resolved. Are they able to resolve the conflicts in a healthy way that makes a relationship or have the potential to be smooth and steady? While others have been bumpy and complicated. One of the first things any couple needs to understand, or any two people in any type of relationship need to understand, is this. We should expect relationships to be complicated at times. It's not a bad confession. It's just what I was saying before. We're all different and we bring different perspectives. Sometimes we also make mistakes. Sometimes we have to ask for forgiveness. Feelings are not always reciprocated. We have a tendency at times, and I'll just say me, because I'm not going to put it on you this time, but we can have the ability at times to be selfish, meaning we want things our own way. These are the things that complicate the relationship. However, we can further complicate relationships by the way we respond to them. So here's some scenarios that we may fall into. Maybe we're in a new dating relationship and everything was going well until all of a sudden it wasn't. It got complicated. Maybe you're in a marriage and you have some sense that there's some things happening in the marriage that need to be addressed. It's complicated. Maybe you are still healing from a past relationship and you want to handle the next one in a way that doesn't have you run into or allows you to avoid some of the things that you experienced in that past relationship. That is where the Bible can give us wisdom in this area. So one of the examples we want to use for this is Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. But we want to focus on where he was writing to the Corinthians in his letter about complicated issues in learning to love one another well. So they were a church family, so to speak, that was getting counsel on how to love each other effectively and how to love them well. So they needed reminding, and so here's our reminder this morning as well. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. And it reads, "If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." So this is the major truth that Paul wants us to understand. So he voices it multiple times in these three verses. He says that when we're in relationship with one another, we can do the right things on paper or say the right things, and we can even look good while we're doing it. But if we don't have love as the driving force, then it's all worthless. And it's also just all for show. There are many complications that can arise from one side of the relationship or both sides when dealing with each other in the absence of love. So as I was thinking about that clanging cymbal or gonging cymbal, I was thinking about an alarm. So we know how aggravating an alarm is when it goes off. It is designed to be aggravating because it wants you to do something about it. It wants you to get up and turn it off. So it's designed to be aggravating. Well, I don't even like my alarm going off. I like to set an alarm because I'm just that type of person. But I don't like to hear it go off. So a lot of times I'll wake up before it. And if I don't have to have a bell, I mean, I even would wake up to the news station or a radio or something that's doing anything but making a lot of noise. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be the people that somebody has to get up and deal with because we have these aggravating ways or we're operating out of anything but love. So let's look at a few points that will help us where this is concerned. So point one, we were talking about aggravation. The absence of love equals the presence of friction. So anytime someone is not operating in love, there is already present in the equation friction. Well, you may be asking, well, how can you say that, Lone? And this is why. I know there are a lot of definitions of what love means. So actually, love is the same word in English, one word, love. In the Greek, love has different definitions. And there is about at least five different definitions as it relates to love. So the one that we're going to focus on, and they get more detailed in what that love is. So we're going to focus on agape, the agape love. It's the way God loves us. And agape is self-sacrificing, and it's selfless to the core. When this kind of love is present, all the circumstantial and situational things that come along to disrupt a relationship is able to be navigated because each person has the other person's interest in mind. I know when we were worshiping this morning, we talked about the reckless love of God, how it just chases us down. It's always looking at what it can give rather than what it can receive. And actually, I'm going to share with you, when I hear that song, I don't want to put this image, well, I guess I do because I'm telling you, to put this image in your mind. But whenever I'm hearing that song, to me, it's like the image of like a bull in a china shop. Someone, a bull comes in, it's disrupting things, it's putting things on the floor, it's trashing things that are in the way. I see that image, but what I see being trashed and put in the way is sickness. It could be disease. It could be friction. It could be any of those things that are happening. His love comes in, and it eradicates all of those things. So it's the same thing in a relationship. When we are loving and looking at the other person's interest first, it eradicates all those things that we're ready to come to blows over, that we're ready to just discard the years built up in a relationship. God comes in and is able to help us see how we can continue to grow and to grow together. So, there is love we would consider to be the key ingredient in the relationship. So here is an analogy for that. So I'm from Philadelphia, but both sides of my family are from South Carolina. So we are Southern people at heart. We eat Southern food at heart. And so I don't know how many of you know about grits. So grits is something that is really good. It's really Southern. Even if you're up north, even if you're out west, somewhere it started through your family or some other means, probably from the South, and migrated to wherever you are. So making grits is not the right way, is not complicated. There's only like two or three steps involved in it. You have some water, you have some salt and butter, you add the grits, and you put it on the stove to heat it up. However, salt is a key ingredient, and just the right amount of salt is key. And I tell you that because I attempted to make grits one time, maybe twice. And each time, I did not use the right amount of salt. And what happens when you don't use the right amount of salt? It is inedible. You cannot eat it. You cannot enjoy it. You cannot give it away. So it is very simple. But now my husband takes that responsibility. He is our grits distributor and provider and purveyor and cooker of grits. Now, I know that there may be some people out there that say they like sugar in their grits, but I think I have given it away in the grits debate. I am team salt, and to do anything else is like that commercial. It's just uncivilized. So you can come at me, sugar people, at some later date. But in that example, salt is the key ingredient, and without it, you don't have a successful meal. Or in this case, a successful bowl of grits. And it's the same in a relationship. You need the love of God, the right amount of love. And that right amount of love is the love the way God does. So Paul makes his appeal to relationships within the church. And I would argue that whatever relationships we find ourselves in today, there could be family relationships, there could be friend relationships, work relationships. We gain nothing without love being the key ingredient in it. So if your relationship status right now is it's complicated, then I would invite you, and I'm doing the same thing, to ask these questions. Am I approaching it with love? Have I demonstrated selflessness? Or am I demanding that the other person bow to my needs? Am I handling the person I love the way that Jesus would? And that's something that we all grow in. I dare say that we all have relationships where it may feel a little bit more, it's complicated in trying to interact with people. So we all have something that we can take away from this. Paul then goes on to describe what a relationship of love looks like. And in that are six nuggets, or some nuggets, I won't number them, but nuggets of wisdom that can untie even the most complicated relationships. So let's continue on in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown tongues or languages and special knowledge will become useless. So that's the type of love that Paul is inviting us into. That's what he's suggesting will make relationships successful. So he talks about what to do, but he also talks about what not to do. So we're going to call them the do's and the don'ts. So right now, I'm going to ask for some information on the screen to help us keep track of the do's and to keep track of the don'ts. So if we're willing to implement all the good ways in our relationships, we have a chance of uncomplicating them. In the end, I think the key thing to remember is we can only control ourselves. And that's something that's easy to forget where we're in the throes of a complicated relationship, that it's only us that we should be looking to change. What we trust God for is that the seeds are planted so that the other person can begin to change too. So let's take a look at each one of these attitudes, and we'll place them in the do's or we'll place them in the don'ts. So the first one we have is patience. This is something we need to put in the do section. When you find yourself in a complicated relationship, you must choose patience in order to discern how to move forward. To talk about the issues or frustrations requires patience because it takes time to heal hearts or build trust. So one that just comes to mind is even how we became connected with this ministry. So my husband was actually the first person that was like, yes, this is what I believe God is calling us to do. We were actually looking for a church home, and I moved here from Philadelphia. So we came together, and he was understanding that this is where we needed to be, and I was not there yet. So when he came, I came, but I was like, I'm here, but I'm just checking things out, and you better not join right here, right now, because then we're going to have something we have to talk about. We're going to be complicated when we get home. So my husband, understanding this is what God had for us, had the ability to become very frustrated or to demonstrate a lack of patience. But actually what happened was he got some good counsel. And so the counsel was to just begin, if that's what he believed God was calling him to do, to just begin moving in that direction. And not at that time to pressure me into moving into that direction. So as he tells it, normally he tells this story, but at the time, he was getting ready one morning, and then he said, I said, well, are you waiting for me or what? I'm going to go too. So I went, but it was the patience that he demonstrated that allowed me to also hear from God, to understand that this was something that he was calling us to do. So patience, even if you are in the right, is something that helps us, and understanding that it's in the what's in the interest of the other person's best interest will help cement and uncomplicate a relationship. So the next category or the next section is Paul talks to us about envy. Paul places envy in the don't category. Love is not envious. Oftentimes, relationships can get complicated because one person or another is envious of the other person. It could be envious of their success. It could be envious of their abilities or envious of their time. Next is pride. Paul places pride in the don't category. Love, pride is when you lift yourself up by pushing someone else down. Someone who is prideful in a relationship thinks so much about themselves that they have little time to think about someone else. Being in a relationship with someone who is prideful is very exhausting because you always have to compete with their attention from their favorite thing, which is themselves. So I would venture that there's probably no one person that is always in a state of pride and the other one that's always not. But depending on the subject, depending on the activity and what it is, we can sometimes find ourselves heading in that direction if we're not mindful of keeping God at the center and the other person's best interests at heart. And hand in hand with pride, because we talked about it a little bit, is selfishness. This is in the don't category. It is incredibly difficult to get clarity on a relationship in this category because, as we said earlier, the focus is always on that person and not the other person. Anger. Anger gets placed in the don't category. It is incredibly difficult to get clarity on a relationship when you find yourself angry. Because anger can make us irrational. So things that we would normally pay attention to or that we could receive from, we're not able to when we're in that emotion. It can cause us to say things that we may later regret. And the interesting thing about being angry is it's not said that we can never become angry. So I think that is also a misconception that people can never be angry. No, it's not that we can't be angry. It's how we handle ourselves and how we can control ourselves in the midst of feeling angry. And the thought that comes to mind with that is when we lose control of our emotions, we also lose control of the situation. So it's like a forest fire. I think on the news recently in the South Florida area, there was a fire that was beginning. It was California. A fire had begun, and they thought it was deliberately set. And it had already become out of control. They said it was 0% contained, which means they had no percentage under control of that fire. And that's how anger is. It can destroy everything around it, including relationships, if we allow it to burn out of control. So we've talked about a few don'ts. Let's toss in a couple of do's. Truth. Paul places truth in the do category. Any relationship will only thrive when there is truth between the two people whom are involved. This means being vulnerable and truthful about how you feel. Now, I would like to point out here, in order for someone to be truthful, it would help a great deal that the person that they're being truthful with is able to have control over their emotions, because it'll make it easy to be able to share truth. When we're not in control, or we believe the other person in the relationship is not in control of their emotions, it becomes more difficult to share truth. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't still share it, but it becomes a more difficult and complicated process. Another point, truth without love. So there are some people that have no problem telling the truth. In fact, it's their Bible-based personality to be able to say truth no matter what the circumstances are. But just remember what we've been talking about in this verse in 1 Corinthians. Love has to be in that truth. Because if love, selflessness, thinking about the other person is in that truth, that will control how we tell that truth and when we tell that truth. That is what helps people to be able to accept truth in a better manner. So if we don't do that, we don't have the love aspect, that key ingredient. Now, there was one situation, I was talking with someone at work, and they were speaking about a relationship that they were just overcome with concern for a friend, because they were in a relationship with another person. And it's not even a dating relationship. They were a friendship. One person wanted to be in a dating relationship. The other person said, no, I just like you as a friend, a very good friend, a very dear friend. I care for you, but I don't see it the same way. But the reason that they spoke the truth. They told the person the truth. But here's where this key love, selflessness ingredient comes in. What happens is the other person that liked them to the point of a dating relationship was spending all of their time with this person that already said, I just like you as a friend, but not more than that. So what's happening in that relationship? On the surface, it looks like it's a relationship of truth because the truth was put out there. The key ingredient of love, though, needs some work, because in love, you're always looking out for the best interests of the other person. So this person was unable to now disconnect or be able to move on to a relationship where someone is looking to take it to a dating level, because all their time is now invested and taken up by this other person. Now, the person that likes them as a friend is getting quality friendship time, but also they are being taken away from looking at other opportunities or better fit from a relationship perspective. So in that case, there is truth, but a key ingredient is missing. And when that key ingredient is missing, we can cause damage. We can cause hurt to the people that we care about. So I don't know who that example was for, but just know that you can still have truth, but there has to be a demonstrated action of love in that other person's best interest to back up those words. So glory to God for that one. Protection. Protection. Let's put that in the do category. Love protects to make sure that it is aware of and sensitive to past wounds, fears, current hopes, and dreams. When someone chooses to protect the other, that means they are cautious about what they take from the other person in the relationship. So there's an aspect of protection in that previous example as well. They are aware of what is appropriate to do or not to do at any given stage of the relationship. So an example here is actually a pretty comical one between my husband and I. So we went to college together. So we knew each other for many years, and we were friends throughout college. We didn't date until years later. There was an attempt, but it just didn't work out, now that I can say my part in this. It just didn't work out at that point. But we were friends. And so I was feeling under the weather one day, and this was at a time where we were both dating other people. And so there was a time where I wasn't feeling well, and I actually had called him because the person I was dating was actually at work, and to see if he could bring me a can of, I don't know if it was turkey noodle soup, chicken noodle soup, or something. I asked for one can of chicken noodle soup or turkey noodle soup. He brought 10 cans of soup to my residence. And so when I asked him, I said, I just asked for one. You know, he said, well, who ever got well off of one can of chicken soup? So he brought enough to provide for me for those days, even if it was longer than I thought it was going to be, being under the weather. And that is something in terms of protection. So he didn't try to get something from me in return. It was just those cans of those multiple cans that I don't think I even ate all the cans of chicken soup, but it was there for me and a protection and an agape love of being able to provide for someone that was in need. And so that is the type of protection that we want in relationships, where it's looking at the other person's best interest. And so the last one is perseverance. Paul places that in the do section. When love commits to someone, it lasts for the long run. That love knows there will be challenges along the way, and it meets them with confidence and dedication to the other person. This love is modeled off of the love of Jesus, which never fails and is steadfast. So when we engage in perseverance, we're actually modeling God's perfect love to us. Because think about it, he has been getting our attention, wanting to pursue us from the beginning. And for many of us, if I ask each person when and if we have said yes to him, the answers would vary. Some may have done it very young. Some may have done it later in life. Some may have done it at the midpoint of their life. But he persevered. His love never changes. And so that's for us. And it doesn't matter the type of relationship. In the married relationship, we can definitely see that tie, because there are going to come times of complication and conflict. So that is where we have the opportunity to demonstrate this. If you're in a single relationship, or you're talking about friendship, neighbors, family members, it's in the moments of conflict that we get to demonstrate, we have the opportunity to demonstrate perseverance. And we can do that by praying for each other, praying for the other person, doing good for the other person, even if we don't think that the return is immediate. So I'll go back to that example of the 6-10 cans of chicken noodle soup. There was not an immediate return on those cans. However, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, when our paths crossed again, it was a seed that turned into a return. And it's the same way in the relationships. When we plant seed, I'm encouraging someone, you're planting seeds, and you don't know whether you're going to see a return, or you may be feeling a little weary and thinking, well, maybe it's just not meant to be. Understand that God showed the ultimate perseverance. Continue to declare his blessing, what is best for that other person, and you will see a return on the relationship. Point 3. Healthy relationships come with a cost. Anyone who is willing to take on this type of love has to take on the nature of Jesus, the one who made the ultimate sacrifice for us. He was willing to do it regardless of what our final decisions might be. Even if we in the end said, nope, that's not it, that's not for me, he did not begrudge the opportunity to give it all when the opportunity came. And that's how we can go after our relationships, whether it's family, whether it's work, whether it's a dating relationship, a married relationship, we can demonstrate that type of perseverance of always wanting to see the best in the other person. See God's best work out in their lives. So here's a couple of tips as we come to a close in terms of the relationship status. Here are some tips that help when we're looking at how we're interacting with one another. The six most important words. I admit I made a mistake. For some of us, that may be a little harder than others, but you can practice. I'm practicing saying it in the mirror. I admit I made a mistake. So we can do that. We can do it. We can say it. The five most important words. You did a good job. Encouragement. The four most important words. What do you think? Opening the dialogue, being able to hear the other person's heart and their opinion. The three most important words. After you, please. So letting the person get a word in edgewise. Letting them go through that door first. The two most important words. Thank you. Gratitude. The one most important word. We. That's who's bringing this worship experience to you today, by the way. It's a we. It's a collective we of a dream team that is here to serve God and to serve you in that order. The least important word, I. So some of you may be wondering, okay, if I follow all of this and the other person still doesn't do anything or they're still doing, skipping along, doing things the way that they always do it, am I left with nothing? And as we just talked about, you're never left with nothing, declaring that God's best is done in the life of someone else. God didn't have defeat where that is concerned. He has lives that are submitted to him as a result. So just know that your seeds do not return void, meaning they do something. They accomplish what they were set out to accomplish. So continue to speak life in those relationships, but most importantly, continue to serve the other person where that relationship is concerned. So now, in order to be able to do all of these things, we have to be able to have the best and most important relationship, because that relationship enables us to be able to have all these other relationships in the right way. And so that relationship is one with our Heavenly Father. He's been calling each of us. He's been calling during this worship experience. He's been setting the ground. He's been setting the atmosphere for you to understand and for me to understand just how much he loves us. I don't think there's any person that has fully grasped the love of God. It's a journey where we learn more and more. We understand more and more the more that we walk and are in relationship with him. So we just want to be able to offer you that opportunity today. We want to be able to offer you the opportunity to understand the person, the who, in the perfect definition of love, because he is love. He is care. He is truth. And so we just want the opportunity to introduce him to you on today. So if you do not have a relationship with God, it is not complicated at all. It's really just a matter of surrendering control. So if you're considering it, it means that you've come to the understanding that there are things that you and I, in our own strength, are not able to handle or know the answers to by ourselves. And maybe there's some area in our lives where these results are showing up that show that we don't have the knowledge or the information or what it takes to watch that area of our life grow and succeed. So all it takes is just an admission that I don't know it all. I do not have by myself what it takes. But with you, God, you in control, you and I, me listening to you, doing what you say, I have the tools now I need to be successful in every area of life. So if that is you, all we're asking you to do is to just raise your hand at this time. You can raise it if you're here with us in the theater. You can raise it if you're at home. You can raise it if you're in the hospital. You can raise it in your car, but don't raise it until you're someplace safe. But go ahead and acknowledge that, God, I want you to be in control. And I expect great results as a result of it. So if that's you, go ahead. You can put it in the chat. Put a little raised hand. You can say, I've decided. You can type in the word, I've decided, that that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put God in control of this. So I don't have to worry about it anymore. I just have to listen and do what he asked me to do. And if you've done that, I want to pray for you right now. And there are others here in the theater, on the online chats, that are praying as well. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to surrender to you. That it doesn't matter at what point in our lives we do it, we're doing it right now. And you, God, are a redeemer of time. I have time to see success in my life, in those areas that I couldn't handle on my own. So I say, you take control, God. I submit to you. I accept the knowledge that your son has died for me. And I thank you for it, Lord God. And I accept what you're offering, this gift of your love right now. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you for this new journey, and I am excited because I see success awaiting for me. It's already done. Thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, amen. All those that agree with that prayer, wherever you are, you have just done what people call salvation, being able to understand what God through his son did for you. So we just want to rejoice with you. We want to make sure that your journey is successful. So if you have made that decision, go ahead and type the word decided in the chats online, and or click on the link if you see a link there to be able to let us know that you've made this decision. All of heaven is rejoicing, and we are rejoicing right with you. And we have some tools to be able to provide to you to be able to make you successful on the next part of your journey. It's actually a book that we want to put in your hands. And if you click on the link, we'll make sure that that gets to you. So we just want to say that our relationships are sweet, and they are positive, and they reap everything that God has for us. We're declaring it over every person, whether you're here in person or you are online, that the seed of time with us today returns to you 100-fold, more than you could ever imagine. So we just thank you for the opportunity to be with you while we worship our Heavenly Father. We continue to call our pastor whole and well, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Be blessed and have an awesome week.